Just want to look at 1 Corinthians. If you have a Bible handy, just turn to 1 Corinthians just for a moment or two. And it's chapter 11. We're going to just take a few moments and look at the four dimensions of the power of the cross. As we take communion tonight out of this sense of God's presence and his forgiveness and a vision of the good Jesus here at this very moment, we're just going to focus on, just very briefly, four dimensions of the power of the cross. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. So we're going to read a few verses together and then we'll look at this. So 1 Corinthians 11 verse 20. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and the other gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. And then Paul says this, for I received from the Lord, that I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to then examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and ill, and a number have even fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under judgment. Okay, let's just stop there. So we're going to just take just a couple of moments, and so just take a moment or two to look at four dimensions of the power of the cross. This is not a definitive list, and in the very short time that we're going to look at it, it really sets the scene so that as we take communion together, we can embrace some aspects of this sense of God's good divine love and power for our lives. The first one is this, and we look back. The first dimension is when we come and take the communion together, we look back. Paul said, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's referring to the Passover. At that moment, when Paul speaks to the Corinthian believers, he's speaking to them about the Passover. The Jews often look back. They look back to a day when God delivered the whole Israelite nation. The Passover comes from a time when the Israelite people were in captivity. They were by this time slaves in Egypt. And after many, many plagues coming upon the Egyptian people, Pharaoh still said, I will not let the Israelite people go. They're going to be kept in slavery. And what happened was this, that God said to Moses, I want you to bring a sacrifice, sacrifice a lamb, and then from the blood of that lamb, if you put that on your door, the door frame of every house, when the angel of death comes on the night that I appoint, then you'll be saved, you'll be free. But it finds any door where there is no blood, then the firstborn of every house will be taken. And on that night, the angel of death came upon the whole Egyptian nation. And when the angel saw the blood, the angel passed over. And this was a judgment on all the Egyptian gods. In Egypt, you know, you can go to Egypt to this day and you can see Egyptian mummies and you can go to the tomb of the pharaohs. The Egyptians were fascinated by death. And this is why they embalmed and entombed people with their chariots and all their families and all their possessions, because they were hoping to come into the afterlife, and they had different Egyptian gods. And what God was now showing them was that their gods were no God, the one true God, the supreme. As Andrew was saying this morning, there was a supreme and one God. And this, the one true God, the God of all creation, It was the one that would deal with even death itself. And so the angel passed over. So what Jesus did when he broke bread, it was at the Passover. They were on the night that Jesus was betrayed, his friends betrayed him. On the night that he was betrayed, he broke bread. And they were celebrating the Passover from death to life. And on that night, he said, "This bread is my body that's broken for you. And this cup is my blood poured out for you." And the amazing thing was that he was basically saying on that night, the Passover we remember, but now what I'm going to do isn't just the blood of lambs that will see the angel of death pass over once, and in each year you're going to have to do this again and again, an animal sacrifice again and again. I'm going to give my life once and for all, for all the universe, for every person, not just Israelites, but anyone and everyone who believes forever. This will last forever. Never can be added, never be taken away. It reaches and touches whoever, whosoever. God so loves the world. How amazing is that? And this was now divine, amazing plan. And Paul is now reflecting back to that amazing forgiveness, that amazing plan. Paul, a great Jew, a great believer, a great teacher of the law, who loved the Passover, who remembered all that Moses saw and how the angel of death passed over, was now remembering everything that Jesus brought, life forevermore. It's incredible. It's amazing. And they looked back. This was a bringing to living memory all that they remembered from their tradition and God's hand in history to what Jesus was now saying and passed down. And this is now some maybe 30 years later that Paul is writing this to the Corinthian believers, looking back. And there is in the communion, as we come and take the bread and take the cup, and Jesus saying, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the blood of the lambs over the door saw the angel of death pass over. Now Jesus is the Lamb whereby his blood means that death passes over. And not just death, but all the powers of death and hell. There is no boast. The grave is now silenced. You think, a cemetery is a very silent place, and yet the grave shouts, death shouts. And yet now Jesus has silenced the shout of death and hell. It's incredible. And all the power, not just death as in a future moment that comes to every living being, but the powers of death and all that death and hell stands for and was shout at our hearts and lives and in the universe and upon the earth today. Jesus silenced that with the very giving of his life and the resurrection of his life to life from the dead. And so Paul looks back, and so there's a sense of bringing to living memory. It wasn't just a memorial of someone who died and sacrificed their life, which that in itself would be an amazing thing, but one who was raised to life and will raise us to life also. That's the amazing thing. That is the amazing thing. And they look back to that, and every time the early Christians, this supper, took the bread and took the cup, they brought this to memory. It wasn't just something that happened now and then, but they were now saying, and so too, we feel the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is for us. They would drink the cup and eat the bread, and they would be encouraged with heart and life forevermore. Nothing is impossible. The resurrection speaks that nothing is impossible. If God did it then, he can do it again. And we can bring it again and again. And this is a living remembrance looking back. If we don't, we not only look back though onto that amazing, incredible day, which means we may experience every day through the living life of Jesus, power over death and hell, forgiveness of sin, and us going our own way. Second thing is we look in. We can look in. And I don't mean introspective, but so if looking back is we remember, then looking in is we can reflect. And this is something that Andrew mentioned this morning, if you were with us this morning, about this, what's in our hearts, what's in your heart. And the communion gives a great opportunity to not be inward looking, navel gazing, oh, I'm a filthy worm, how terrible am I, but just reflect, where am I at today? It's a great opportunity to look at life, look at our hearts, and say, where's my heart today? Where am I right now with you, Jesus? Don't have to beat ourselves up. It's a great opportunity to look in. And so Paul says, let everyone examine themselves. Did you see that? Verse 27 to 28. Eat in a right manner. Examine yourself. And this isn't condemnation perfection, but loving protection. You see, when Jesus stands amongst us, because he does, because he's alive, I bring to memory when he stood in front of a woman who was caught in adultery, and they were throwing stones at the woman. And when Jesus said, if you could got no sin, you cast the first stone, and they didn't. And then he says these beautiful words, neither do I condemn you, go away and sin no more. And Jesus stands here, and when we reflect and examine our hearts, he stands here in that same spirit and says, neither do I condemn you, go away and sin no more. There's something beautiful, powerful, and amazing opportunity to just reflect. Not just go along in our lives, chugging along, running along, or dragging our heels along, but just reflect on our hearts. To look in, as it were. And this is why Paul says, examine yourself. Not condemning perfection, but loving protection. There's a beautiful forgiveness, grace, and mercy. God is a God of complete justice. He cannot look at sin, and yet he's a God of complete love. He's incredibly merciful as well. And so there's this, we look in, and this is where, as we come, we can, this is my heart, Lord. This is my hands, Lord. This is where my life is today. And then Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go away and sin no more. How good is that? How good is that? Reflection. The third dimension is this. And it's, we look back, we look in, and we can look up. How good is it tonight, today, tomorrow, and every day, we can always look up. We can always look up. You see, if looking back is remembering, if looking in is reflecting, then looking up is relating. Because we have a living Savior. Jesus died and rose again. And then he said, I'm going to be with the Father, but I send another to come alongside you, to be with you. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Parakletos is one. Holy Spirit means one like me called alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside us. And so he lives within us, and Jesus says, I come to be living within you and with you. And so I am with you. Jesus is alive. He died and rose again. And so we can look up. We can reach out to him. Jesus is the master of the meal, and he's also the meal. How about that? This is why in the early church, there was a rumor in Rome, in the early church, that Christians practiced cannibalism. And early Christians were, there was a terrible rumor that went around amongst non-believing Romans at this sort of time, because they misunderstood the idea that Jesus says, I have to feed on me. You have to feed on me. He's the bread of life. But this is the great news. He's the master. It's called the Lord's. This is the Lord's Supper. Paul says, you're not eating the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. He's the master of the meal, but he's also the meal himself. He's the bread of heaven. How about that? Because he's alive. And so we can find sustenance, strength by faith. As we take this bread and take the cup, the emblems, they signify. But not only do they signify something and stand for something, but they help us put in vision, as we've been reminded tonight about, was see Jesus, see God. They help us envision and see him, but they also bring a sense of sustenance in the sense of by faith. Jesus is alive. He's here right now. We can feed on him. He invites us to trust him. He invites us to love him. He invites us to take our strength from him. That's what it means to feed, as it were, in that sense, on his word, on his life, on his hope, on his hope, on his help. And so he's alive right now. We can look up. How good is that? This is the third of the dimension. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, Paul says, is in you and lives for you, is towards you. The same power of the resurrection is for you. This is why he can do more than we can. Paul said, God can do more than we can even ask or imagine. There's nothing too difficult. There's nothing that's too dead. There's nothing too far from God. He is alive. It's not just for Easter. Not just a reflection at Easter, but a reflection of every day. And so when we come, we can look up, look into his face, reach out into his hand. And finally, so it's the Lord's Supper, Paul says in verse 20. And finally, we can look forward. The fourth dimension, as it were. So if we look back, we remember. If we look in, we reflect. If we look up, we relate. And we can live with and love and speak to and be loved by and walk with. And now we can look forward. We can resolve to the future. We can look ahead. And there's something about we can resolve. We can resolve. There's a sense of resolution, a sense of hope-filled resolution. I can stand up and I can step out. I have this ability, not in myself, and of course we, but to stand up when we feel that we're broken and bruised, and then step forward and step out. There comes a hope-filled resolution. He says that you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, Paul says. When you take this bread and you take this cup and you drink this cup and you put your and you look up and you look back and you look in and you look forward, you proclaim my death till I come. This isn't the, it's not over. Nothing, it's not over until God says it's over, and Jesus will is coming for his people, his bride, his church. He comes for us to lift us to be with him. There's a sense of hope. There's always a tomorrow. You know, as the song goes, the sun will come out tomorrow. But it's not the West End of London. It's not Disney. It's not Hollywood, because it's all going pear-shaped in Hollywood at the moment, isn't it? You know, as Andrew shared this morning, what's hidden is coming out. But there is always a tomorrow. That's not a Hollywood thing. It's not a West End of London thing. It's a thing in Christ. It's a true thing. It's the real thing, because there's a hope-filled sense of resolution, because he's alive, and he won't let us go. He won't let you go, and he won't let this earth go, and he won't let the world go, and he won't let the universe go, because God's his vested interest. He loves and made it and created it and loves us and loves you. And his nail prints are imprinted on my print of my hand. You know, we all have a thumbprint and a fingerprint that's perfect and to yours. And God's print is in the nail prints of Jesus' hands. He loves us that much. He's coming for us, and he's for us, and he's with us. So we're going to take communion together, and we're going to just worship, continue to worship for these next few moments. And as we do, we bring to living memory the power of the cross, of the Passover, of death, of the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Of looking in and saying, this is my heart, God, take me. Do business right now. Examine. Of looking up and saying, you're alive. I reach out to you with my heart, my life, my family, my home. I give you my life anew. I give you my life anew. Maybe tonight, some of us need to give our lives anew to God and say, take my life again. Maybe we walked or run and we're not walking or running as we did. Maybe for some of us, it's the first time to say, God, I give you my life. I'm going to trust my life to you. And we can then look forward and resolve as we stand forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the supper. Your supper, to communion, to relate to you, and you give your body, you give your blood. You are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. We thank you for that right now, and we look back, we look in, we look up, and we look forward as we take this bread and take this cup. So before we do that, let's just do that right now. Let's just take a second and reflect back. You died and rose again. Defeat the powers of death and hell and sin. And as we look back now, let's look in. Where are you? Where's your heart? How do you stand with God? Heavenly Father, tonight see our hearts. For some of us, it's a case of saying, take my life afresh. For some of us, it's saying, deal, help me with this pain. Help me with this brokenness. Help me with this. Help me with my mind. Help me with forgiveness. Help me with unforgiveness. I trust you with my life for the first time. Now let's look up. Rely on his power, his love, his hope. Right now, in your life, marriage, family, home, our church, in situations, come and be alive, Jesus. Thank you. Where there seems to be no hope, no way, make something happen out of nothing. Where it's dark, burst into light. Where there's a dead end, open up a way. Where there seems to be no way, make a way. We look up. Now let's look forward. There's always another day. Jesus is alive. He's interested and loves you and me. He's coming back for us to take us to be with him It's not over until he says it's over. It's not the end until he says it's the end. He has the first say and the last say. Let's look forward. Lord Jesus, as we take this bread and take this cup, receive of our hearts, receive of our lives. For some of us, we're going to come forward this evening and we're giving our lives back to you because we've maybe been far from you. Maybe we've been hurt. Maybe we feel we've been let down, or someone else has let us down, or church has let us down, or maybe we've even felt God, you've let us down. But tonight, we're going to come back to you. For some of us, we're coming to you because we're broken and we're bruised. We've examined our hearts. We just say, take my life. For some of us, it might be the very first time I'm saying, God, I give you my life. If you gave me yours, then I'm giving you mine. And we're looking up. We're looking up and putting our hands into your hands, living God. Come into our marriages, homes, families, lives, our town, our church, the community, our nation, we pray. Let's stand together as we sing, and I'm going to call you to come forward as we worship. We're going to take communion, and that opportunity, we're going to do it row by row. First row, second, third, and then to the back. If you come, there's plenty of bread and a cup for us all. And we'd love you to come forward and bring your life to God and make your peace with God and give yourself to God afresh. Between you and God right now. Ask forgiveness, pray for healing, and maybe we'll have an opportunity to pray in a moment or two as well, but let's come before him and give our hearts to this wonderful, beautiful, amazing Savior. Let's stand, shall we?